A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hannah sent us this one, and she's asking about something architects used to treat as a core part of the job. The idea that a building's best day might not be opening day. She points out that in modern architecture school, everything is about performance, new materials, technology, sustainable systems. But older architects thought deliberately about age and weathering as part of the design itself. What really struck her, she says, is that in historical drawings, architects would sometimes depict the future patina of a facade. They weren't just designing what a building would look like on completion day. They were thinking about year 50, year 100, year 200. That feels very different from how we design now, where aging is treated almost like a maintenance failure. So our questions are, how do we actually design for patina today? Which materials age beautifully? Stone, brick, lime plaster, copper, brass, timber, concrete? And which just look degraded? Does designing for graceful aging mean returning to traditional materials? Or can modern materials in contemporary architecture do this well too? And the broadest question, what would it mean to make the future aging of a building an intentional part of the architectural concept rather than something we try to prevent?
The gap she's pointing at is real, and it's not just aesthetic. It's a difference in how you relate to time. A building designed for day one is a snapshot. A building designed for year 100 is a story.
Which means the architect has to write a story they won't be around to finish.
Right, and that used to be normal. Let me define patina precisely, because the word gets used loosely. Patina is a surface change that comes from exposure, use, and time. It's not damage, and it's not decay. It's a visible record of the building's life in the world. The key distinction is between patina and degradation. Patina adds character, and often it's protective. Degradation subtracts value. It's structural or aesthetic failure. A copper roof going green is patina. A copper roof with holes in, it's degradation.
So the difference is whether the change is doing something for the building or just taking something away.
And here's the paradox. Modern architecture treats aging as a maintenance failure, something to be prevented or reversed. Historical architecture often treated it as an expected dimension of the building's life. There's a term for this, designed weathering. The architect anticipates and shapes how a building will change over decades, not just how it looks on the first day.
And Hannah's drawing example gets at that. The architect is literally sketching the building's future.
The Danish architect C.F. Hansen did this. He worked in the late 18th and early 19th century, and his drawings sometimes depicted the future patina of facades. He'd show how the building would look after decades of weathering. This wasn't romanticism, it was a design method. He was thinking about the material's life cycle as part of the composition.
That's a different mental model entirely. Most architects today would think of a rendering as the building's best possible moment. Hansen was drawing the building as it actually lived.
And the material science backs up why that mattered. Copper is the classic example. It develops that green patina, verdigris, through a multi-stage oxidation process. It goes brown first, then black, then green, depending on moisture and sulfur exposure. The green layer isn't just cosmetic, it's protective. It's a stable surface that slows further corrosion.
So the green is the material sealing itself.
That's the elegant part. The patina is the protection. Bronze does something similar, but more slowly. Brass tarnishes and darkens. Stone, particularly limestone and marble, develops a surface patina from acid rain and biological colonization. But stone can also erode structurally, so there's a line between a beautiful surface and actual loss of material.
What about brick?
Brick weathers through salt crystallization and freeze-thaw cycles. The surface changes. It gets that mellow look, but the process can also spall the face off if it goes too far. Lime plaster is the one people don't expect. It carbonates over time. It absorbs carbon dioxide and converts back to calcium carbonate. It actually gets harder and more integrated with the wall. That's a strengthening process, not a weakening one.
So, lime pasta is the rare case where aging improves the structural performance.
In a modest way, yes. Timber silvers and checks, developing that weathered grain. It's mostly aesthetic, but the silvering is also a surface change that can protect the wood from further UV damage. Concrete can develop a patina through carbonation and surface staining, but here's the problem. Concrete often just looks stained and degraded. It doesn't get that coherent, beautiful surface the way copper or stone does.
So the distinction is between materials that develop a protective or aesthetically coherent surface layer, and materials that just look dirty or broken. Copper, bronze, lime plaster, certain stones, weathered timber on one side, modern sealants, some concretes, certain cladding systems on the other.
And that distinction is where the modern architecture school critique comes in. Contemporary education is focused on performance metrics, new material technologies, sustainable systems. But that usually means designing for optimal performance at day one. Aging is treated as a failure mode. The maintenance paradigm is that buildings are designed to be maintained, not to age.
Which is a fundamental shift. The historical approach was to design a building that would become something. The modern approach is to design a building that will be kept looking like the rendering.
A modern cladding system designed to look pristine looks shabby when it weathers. A copper roof designed to patina looks intentional at year 20. The difference isn't the material, it's whether the change was anticipated.
So a copper roof that's designed to go green is a design success. A cladding system that's designed to stay white and then streaks is a design failure. Same weather, different outcome.
That's the mechanism. Now let me push on the second order implications, because this is where it gets interesting. If you design for patina, what changes? Maintenance schedules change, material selection changes, detailing changes, and the architect's relationship to time changes. A building designed for patina is designed for a longer lifespan, not just physically, but aesthetically.
The building is expected to change, and that change is part of its value. That's a different value proposition than a building that's expected to look the same forever.
And it raises the question Hannah asked. Can modern materials and contemporary architecture do this well? The answer is yes, but it requires intentionality. Weathering steel, Corten, is a modern material designed to patina. It develops a stable rust layer that protects the steel and is aesthetically distinctive. The rust is the protection.
Corten is the modern proof that you don't have to go back to traditional materials to design for aging. It's a 20th century invention that does exactly what old copper does.
And some contemporary architects use copper, zinc, and timber in ways that anticipate patina. Zinc develops a gray patina. Timber is specified knowing it'll silver. But many modern materials are the opposite. Sealants, composite panels, certain paints are designed to look new, and they fail aesthetically when they age. They don't patina, they just get shabby.
So the question isn't traditional versus modern. It's whether the material has a coherent aging story. Copper has one. Corten has one. A composite panel doesn't.
And the sustainability connection is direct. Designing for patina extends the aesthetic life of a building. That reduces the pressure to replace materials prematurely. A building that ages gracefully doesn't need to be renovated every 20 years to look current. That's a huge environmental win.
Because the alternative is the cycle of replacement. The cladding looks tired, so you tear it off and put up new cladding. That's embodied carbon every cycle. A building that ages well skips all of that.
The conceptual shift is the big one. Making a building's future aging an intentional part of the architectural concept means the architect thinks about the building at year 1, year 50, and year 100, and designs for all three. It means drawings might show the building at different stages of its life. It means material selection is driven by how materials age, not just how they perform initially.
That's a radically different way of practicing. It's almost like designing a person instead of a portrait.
And it doesn't mean returning to traditional materials. It means rejecting the paradigm of permanent newness. Modern materials can patina beautifully if they're selected and detailed with aging in mind. The key is intentionality. Designing for change rather than designing against it.
Which raises the cultural question. Why do we treat aging as failure in buildings, but as character in other things? Furniture, clothing, tools? A leather jacket that's worn in is worth more. A building that's worn in is considered a problem.
I think it's because buildings are capital assets. They're valued on the balance sheet, and the balance sheet wants them to look like the day they were purchased. Furniture and clothing are personal. We have a relationship with them. Buildings are supposed to be impersonal.
But that's a choice, not a necessity. The building could be personal. The architect could design a relationship with time instead of a battle against it.
And that's what C.F. Hansen was doing. He was drawing the relationship. He was saying, here's what this building and this material will become together.
So if patina is a designed outcome, not a failure, what does that actually look like in practice? Which materials actually age well, and why?
Let me go through the list Hannah gave. Stone. Certain stones age beautifully. Limestone gets a mellow, weathered surface, but it also erodes in acid rain. Marble does the same. Granite is more resistant, but doesn't develop as much character. The key with stone is the detailing. If water is managed well, the stone ages gracefully. If water runs down the face constantly, you get staining and erosion.
So stone is a good aging material, if the architect thinks about water.
Water is the whole story for most materials. Brick ages beautifully when it's well fired and the mortar is lime-based. The brick face gets that soft, varied tone. But if the mortar is too hard, the brick can't breathe, and freeze-thaw cycles spall the face. Salt crystallization is the killer.
Lime mortar is the traditional answer because it's softer than the brick. It lets the wall move and breathe.
Right. And lime plaster, as I said, carbonates and hardens. It also self-heals small cracks. It's the rare material that gets better with age in a structural sense. Copper and brass are the metals that patina. Copper goes green, brass darkens. Both are protective, timber silvers and checks. The silvering is a UV protection, but the checking can let water in if it goes too deep.
And concrete is the problem child. It can carbonate and develop a surface, but it often just looks stained. The staining is uneven, and the material doesn't have a coherent aging story.
Concrete's problem is that it's porous, and it's usually painted or sealed. The paint fails, the sealant fails, and then the concrete underneath stains. It's not a patina, it's a series of failures.
So the materials that age well are the ones that have a built-in aging mechanism. Copper oxidizes, lime carbonates, timber silvers. The materials that age badly are the ones that rely on a coating or a sealant that fails.
That's a useful way to put it. The aging is either in the material or on the material. If it's in the material, it's patina. If it's on the material, it's a coating, and coatings fail.
So when we talk about modern materials, the question is whether the aging is in the material. Corten has it in the material. A composite panel doesn't.
And that's the design criterion. Don't specify a material that needs to look new. Specify a material that has a future.
Which brings us to the deeper question. What would it mean to make aging an intentional part of the architectural concept? Not just picking materials that age well, but actually designing the building's life.
It means the architect thinks in time, not just in space. The building has a trajectory. It starts somewhere and it goes somewhere. The architect designs the starting point, but also the direction.
That's a different kind of drawing. Instead of one rendering of the finished building, you'd have a series. Year 1, year 20, year 50. The building as a sequence.
And the maintenance plan becomes a design document. Not a list of things to fix, but a description of how the building is expected to change. The copper roof is expected to go brown, then black, then green. That's not a defect. That's the design.
The maintenance team becomes a kind of curator. They're not restoring the building to its original state. They're helping it become what it's supposed to become.
And the sustainability argument is embedded in that. A building that's designed to become something doesn't need to be replaced. It just needs to be allowed to age.
But here's where it gets complicated. If patina is climate dependent, and it is, then the same material ages differently in different places. Copper goes green in a humid, sulfur-rich environment. In a dry climate, it just stays brown.
So designing for patina is also designing for a specific environment. The architect has to know the local weather, the local pollution, the local biology. The same building in London and Phoenix ages completely differently.
Which means the patina design is site-specific. You can't just specify copper and assume it'll go green. You have to know whether it'll go green here.
And that's a level of local knowledge that modern architecture often doesn't have. The globalized practice of architecture means a firm in New York might design a building in Singapore without ever really knowing how materials age in Singapore.
The historical architects knew their local materials and their local weather because they built locally. Hansen knew how copper aged in Copenhagen because he'd watched it happen.
There's a broader point here about architectural education. The modern architecture school focuses on performance metrics and new technologies. But it doesn't teach students how materials age. It teaches them how materials perform on day one.
So the curriculum is oriented toward the snapshot, not the story. Students learn to optimize for the rendering, not for the life.
That's a loss. The older tradition had this knowledge embedded in practice. The master builder knew how lime plaster would behave in 50 years because he'd seen 50-year-old lime plaster.
Which is empirical knowledge. It's not in a textbook. It's in the material itself.
It's transferable. The old-timers passed it down. The apprentice learned by watching the building age.
The question is whether we can recover that knowledge, or whether we have to reinvent it with modern materials.
I think it's both. We can recover the traditional knowledge for traditional materials, and we can develop new knowledge for modern materials. Corten has been around long enough that we know how it ages. We can study it.
The deeper cultural question is why we stop valuing this. Why did aging become a failure pattern instead of a design dimension?
I think it's tied to the Industrial Revolution and the idea of the building as a product. Products are supposed to be new. They're supposed to be replaced. The building became a product instead of a place.
A product has a warranty. A place has a life.
That's the shift. The warranty mindset says the building should look the same for the warranty period. The life mindset says the building should change in a way that's part of its value.
Designing for patina is a way of rejecting the product mindset. It's saying the building isn't a product. It's a place that lives.
That's the deepest answer to Hannah's question. Making aging an intentional part of the concept means treating the building as something that lives in time, not something that exists outside of it.
Which is a philosophical position as much as a technical one.
It is. And it's one that the historical architects held without necessarily articulating it. They just did it.
What would it take to bring this back? Is it a curriculum change? A practice change? A cultural change?
All three. The curriculum needs to teach material aging. The practice needs to specify for aging. And the culture needs to value a building that looks 50 years old and beautiful over a building that looks new and generic.
The culture part is the hardest. We're trained to see newness as value. A building that looks old is assumed to be in need of renovation.
Unless it's old enough to be historic. Then we value the aging. It's the middle period that's the problem. A building from the 90s looks dated. A building from the 1890s looks charming.
There's a valley of aesthetic death. The building is too old to look new and too new to look historic.
Designing for patina is a way of avoiding that valley. If the building is designed to age well, it never looks dated. It just looks like itself at a different stage.
That's a compelling argument. The building that ages well is always contemporary because it's always becoming.
That's what Hansen was drawing. The building's future was part of its present. The patina wasn't something that happened to the building. It was something the building did.
The architect's job is to design what the building does over time, not just what it looks like at the start.
That's a much more demanding job. It requires knowing materials, climate, and time, not just form and space.
It also requires humility. The architect has to accept that they won't control the final result. They can only set the direction.
Which is a hard thing for a profession that's used to control. The rendering is a promise of control. The patina is an acceptance of change.
The question is whether the profession can give up the rendering as the primary artifact. Can the architect present a building's future as the design, not just its first day?
Some architects are doing this. The ones who use Corten, who specify copper, who think about timber aging, they're designing in time.
But it's still a minority. The mainstream is still designing for the photograph.
The photograph is the problem. Architecture is judged by photographs, and photographs are snapshots. A building that ages well photographs well at every stage. But the profession is oriented toward the first photograph.
The media reinforces the snapshot mindset. The building is judged on the day it opens, not on the day it turns 50.
That's a loss, because the 50-year-old building might be the better building. The patina might be the point.
The misconception here is that patina is just another word for decay or damage. It's not. Patina is a surface phenomenon that adds character and can be protective. Degradation is a structural or aesthetic failure. They're opposites.
The second misconception is that designing for patina means returning to traditional materials. It doesn't. Corten is a modern material that patinas beautifully. The key is intentionality, not tradition.
The third misconception is that aging is always a maintenance failure. It's not. Aging can be a designed outcome. Treating it as a failure is a cultural choice, not a technical necessity.
That's the thing I keep coming back to. The technical knowledge exists. The materials exist. What's missing is the cultural permission to let buildings age.
The question is whether we can give ourselves that permission. Whether we can look at a building that's changing and see it as becoming rather than deteriorating.
I think we can. I think Hannah's question is evidence that the conversation is shifting. People are starting to see the value in buildings that have a life.
The sustainability argument alone should be enough. A building that ages well is a building that doesn't need to be replaced. That's the most sustainable building there is.
The aesthetic argument is just as strong. A building with patina has a depth that a new building can't match. It has a history that's visible.
The two arguments reinforce each other. The sustainable building is the beautiful building.
Which is a rare alignment. Usually sustainability and aesthetics are in tension. Here, they're the same thing.
That's the strongest case for designing for patina. It's not a sacrifice. It's a better building.
It's a better way of practicing architecture. The architect who designs for time is doing a more complete job than the architect who designs for the photograph.
The question Hannah raised, what would it mean to make aging intentional? The answer is that it'd mean a different profession. A profession that thinks in decades, not in openings.
A different culture. A culture that values a building's life over its debut.
That's a big shift. But it's not impossible. The materials are there. The knowledge is there. The question is whether we're willing to let the buildings be what they're going to be.
The green only happens if the copper gets the right amount of moisture and sulfur. In a dry climate, it just stays brown. I learned that from a man named Vern. I spent a summer in the late 80s working for a roofing contractor in Ohio, installing copper gutters and flashing on churches and old civic buildings. Vern was the old-timer who taught me how to solder the seams. He said copper is the only material that gets better looking the more you ignore it. But he also said most people get the color wrong. It goes brown first, then black, then green. The green is the last stage, and it only comes if the conditions are right. If the air is dry, the copper just sits there brown for decades. I had a copper mailbox once, left it untreated on purpose. Took 12 years to turn green. My neighbor thought it was rusting and offered to paint it for me.
The neighbor is the perfect illustration of the cultural problem. He saw a material doing exactly what it was supposed to do, and he read it as failure.
The climate point is the one we touched on but didn't fully develop. The same material ages differently in different places. Designing for patina means designing for a specific environment. You can't just specify copper and assume green. You have to know whether green will happen here.
Which makes patina design inherently local. The architect has to know the place, not just the material. Vern knew Ohio copper. You wouldn't have known Copenhagen copper.
Vern knew the copper would go brown and stay brown on the north side of a church and go green on the south side where the rain hit it. He'd point that out on jobs. Said the building was going to tell you what it wanted to be, and you just had to listen.
That's empirical knowledge that no rendering captures. The microclimate of a single facade. The north side and the south side aging differently. That's the level of detail that designed weathering actually requires.
It's the kind of knowledge that only comes from watching buildings age. Vern had watched enough copper to know the baton. Most architects haven't.
Vern also said the green was the building's pension. The longer you left it alone, the more valuable it got. He'd laugh about the guys who'd come around wanting to clean the copper, said they were throwing away the pension.
The pension metaphor is exactly right. The patina is an asset that accumulates over time. Cleaning it off is destroying value.
That's the cultural shift in a single image. The building's future is an asset, not a liability. The aging is the pension.
Which connects back to the sustainability point. A building that accumulates value as it ages doesn't get torn down. It gets kept.
The question that leaves me with is whether this knowledge can be systematized. Vern knew it because he'd seen it. Can we teach it without the decades of watching?
I think we can study it. We can document how materials age in different climates. We can build that into the design process. But there's a difference between knowing that copper goes green in humid air and knowing what Vern knew, which is that this particular church will go green on this particular wall in this particular way.
The general knowledge is teachable. The specific knowledge is earned.
Vern earned it. He was up on those scaffolds for 40 years. He could look at a copper roof and tell you how old it was within a year or two, just by the color. He said the roof was a clock.
The roof is a clock. That's the building telling time.
That's what Hansen was drawing. He was drawing the clock. He was showing what time would look like on the facade.
The patina isn't just a surface. It's a record. It's the building's biography written in its material.
The architect who designs for patina is designing a biography. They're setting up a life that will unfold over decades.
Which is a more generous way of thinking about architecture. You're not imposing a final form. You're setting up a process.
The process is the building. The building is never finished. It's always becoming.
The misconception to correct is that a building is finished when it's built. It's not. It's just starting.
That's the single most common wrong belief about this topic. People think a building's best day is the day it opens. The truth is that a building designed for patina gets better with time. The opening day is the worst it'll ever look.
The second misconception is that aging is decay. It's not. Aging is the building doing what it was designed to do.
The open question for me is whether the profession can shift. Can architecture schools teach students to design for time? Can clients be persuaded to value the building's future? Can the culture let buildings age?
I think the sustainability argument will force the shift. We can't afford to keep replacing buildings because they look dated. Designing for patina is going to become an economic necessity, not just an aesthetic preference.
When it does, the knowledge will come back. The Verns of the world will be in demand again. The people who know how materials age will be the ones designing the buildings.
That's a hopeful thought. The future of architecture might look more like its past.
It might. And that's not a regression. It's a recovery of something we lost.
A recovery of time as a design material.
Time as a design material. That's the phrase. The architect who designs for patina is using time the way other architects use light or space.
Time is the one material that's always available. It's just a question of whether you work with it or against it.
The historical architects worked with it. We can too.
Thanks to Hilbert for producing, and for the copper clock.
This has been My Weird Props. If you want to think more about this, look at the buildings around you. Which ones are aging well, and which ones are just getting old? Email us at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Props, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.